Good evening. Welcome to the Salieri Report. This is Catherine Austin Fitz on Thursday, July 21st, 2016. I'm at Lake Constance in Germany, southern Germany, and I'm here to discuss with you our second quarter equity overview combined with a review of Rambus's great blockbuster Chartology for the second quarter. If you can, go to the web presentation for the second quarter wrap-up. We're going to be looking at the charts on the last page called Financial Market Roundup, and you can link to it from the subscriber links in the commentary for this Salieri report. The quote I use on the Financial Market Roundup for the second quarter is, quote, "Buy the shock is emerging as a new buzzword and investment strategy on Wall Street." That's Adam Schell talking about Brexit. In fact, on Brexit, global equity markets took a $2 trillion nosedive right at the close of the second quarter, and since have recovered more, so those who bought the shock, in fact, have been well rewarded. Once the quarter closed, we saw precious metals and treasuries both looking terrific. I mean, if it says anything, it's that people are worried about safety. Gold was up 25%, silver even more. The long treasury was up 15%. At some point, it peaked at 18%. If you had told me that that was going to happen, I would have bet you a great deal of money that it couldn't happen. But it's proof that we're in one of these environments where anything can happen. Proof also that the Fed got scared and backed down on raising interest rates and is expected to keep backing down. The establishment's growth and recovery vision clearly walked into a different reality, and it's a reality they need to hear, but it's frightening the extent to which they didn't know it existed. At the end of the second quarter, we had $12 trillion in sovereign debt in both Europe and Japan trading at negative interest rates. Again, completely unthinkable, but it's another way, unfortunately, that governments continue to harvest the general population. The S&P 500 didn't look so great at the exact end of the second quarter. It was up 2.69%, which is a lot better than Europe, with Germany down about 10%. Emerging markets looked better. They recovered a little bit. They're up 7% for the first half of the year as a result of commodities starting to show life again. But it's needless to say, despite the S&P not being particularly strong relative to other sectors, there's no doubt the divergence between the U.S. and the international markets is still very significant. In a sense, the second quarter was a time in which the global investors got over the shock, or were just getting over the shock of the nosedive in February and trying to come to terms with what was happening in the U.S. presidential campaign, including understanding what negative interest rates meant. And then they got surprised on the leave vote at Brexit, which delivered really another shock. And so investors are really coping to deal psychologically with what is happening. If you walk through the web presentation on the second quarter wrap-up, the charts speak for themselves. Let's just go down and let me point out some highlights. The U.S. dollar is still down a little bit for the year, but it gained a lot, including on Brexit. Brexit was, of course, very strong for the dollar. If you look at the equity markets and dive into which sectors, what you see is that anything that offered dividends did well. That included utilities, real estate, and communication stocks, or those sectors that were really part of the early commodities recovery, which included the basic material stocks, which Rambus looks at in detail in his blockbuster Chartology, as well as energy. If you, I always like to look at the strong performers at Motif Investing, and I show those on the as part of the charts. I wanted to point out, not in the top three, but number four was higher food prices, and I think that's an ominous signal that I really want to underscore. I think we're all going to be faced with steadily higher food prices and challenges in assuring ourselves quality food. And I want you to really think about your food supply and how you're going to manage yourself in a situation where higher food prices are upon us. As you can see from the charts, the dive in the global markets on the Brexit vote was quite steep, particularly in Europe. Investors, as I said, were not expecting the vote to go for leave, let alone the British establishment to be ready, in fact, to accept that vote rather than call for a second round referendum, which they've done before, and then move to execute a leave. The deepest dives were in the financials, which hadn't recovered from 2008. In fact, so if you look at someone like the Royal Bank of Scotland, you know, they're down in the 4 to 5, all the way down from 200 before 2008. So it's quite an extraordinary discount. It was so deep, with major institutions swinging down as much as 40% for the year, that even I made a small purchase in my own account. I just said, I can't miss this. One sentiment I had heard and read throughout the Anglo-American establishment in the second quarter was that if Brexit went for leave, it would give support and strength to other movements to push for leave, from the EU to oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership and other trade agreements, as well as give energy to Trump's chance to win the presidency. And investors fear what that kind of momentum can bring. Again, a lot of them are dealing with corporate stocks, and corporations have been the beneficiaries, unfortunately, at the cost of the general economy, in my opinion. And what we're going to be talking about in the theme of productivity, prosperity, and the popsicle index is how do we turn that around? But of course, the big fear for many investors is what would happen if the euro, the second largest currency in the world, were to come apart. And could it happen? Yeah, it could happen. Clearly, uncertainty was part of the reason that Treasury and precious metals did so well, despite the fact that they produced so little, really little or no yield. Part of the uncertainty is just dealing with the wild swings. So when you have European financials down 40%, silver up 40%, being on the wrong side can be very painful. And I think even more challenging than that, than dealing with the volatility, the swings and prices, is dealing with the volatility in possible scenarios. So anything is possible, particularly if the central banks stop printing or, God forbid, raise interest rates, which I don't think is likely. So let's turn to Rambus. You don't need to follow along with Rambus's blockbuster chartology. I've gotten several requests to really focus you on the important summary issues, and that's what I'm not going to do. That's what I am going to do. I'm not going to go through the charts in detail, but I would encourage you to. It's an unbelievably impressive round of charting on a wide number of markets and stocks. Rambus has put in quite an effort over the last 2 weeks, and I very much appreciate his work and his colleagues' support at Rambus Chartology. These charts allow us to pull together and review a vast amount of trading history, which really helps me, I know, achieve enormous perspective on where prices and markets have been. No one can predict the future, and I don't think technical analysis can predict the future. However, I think it's very helpful to help you know where you are and how you got there, and that gives a very important perspective. So let's look at the key summary points. The first point is Rambus is very, very coherent and clear. We are in a bull market on equities, particularly U.S. equities, and that bull market is very much intact, and it has the capacity to go much higher. Rambus notes that this flies in the face of a lot of fundamental issues, but I would say it this way. The debt bubble has to go somewhere, and the global central banks are quite committed that it's going to global equities. That doesn't mean that a lot won't spill over into things like real estate and real assets or precious metals, but if you look at the size of the bond market and the size of the bubble in that bond market and the fact that that paper, the creditworthiness of so much of that paper is deteriorating steadily, I think the central banks are literally rounding up the herd and shooting it into equities, and that's part of the strength that comes up in Rambus's charts. One fly in the ointment that I want to underscore is his chart of the Shanghai markets. If China continues to slow down, we run the risk of it pulling global growth, and that includes precious and metals and commodities down with it. My expectation is if you look at the Shanghai chart, that it's going to move up from the bottom trend line where it's sitting on the wedge that he's drawn. However, if it breaks down and continues downward, we could be in for some serious deflationary effects. So let's just keep that in mind, and I'm going to keep an eye on that chart. The second summary point is Rambus did basic material stocks for his commodity section. And the basic material stocks are one of the areas of opportunity in the equity markets because they've been beaten down with commodities, and with commodities are starting to recover. Rambus clearly sees this as an area of potential opportunity for value investors. And I would point out he has a few that I would not invest in for ethical reasons, most noticeably Monsanto. Then the third point on which Rambus is very, very strong and very clear is he has determined, in his opinion, precious metals has returned to the long-term bull in January of 2016. He feels the bull has clearly reasserted. But just as fascinating as the second piece of this, which is for the last 20 years, bullion has outperformed mining stocks. Rambus is calling for that to reverse. He's saying that mining stocks are now going to outperform bullion, and in combination with the bull reasserting, if he's right, that's going to make high quality mining stocks a very, very significant long-term opportunity. So that piece of it makes this very interesting. As I said, this is a very strong call from Rambus. I've said that if gold went over the 1340 line, it was going to be time to relook at it as an investment. It crossed the 1340 line, then corrected back, and it looks to me like it's going to punch back through again, at which point I'm going to start to shift some of my recommendations. But let me just put a caveat in that, and remember, this is mine, not Rambus. My eye is still on that Shanghai equity chart, and the impact of a deflationary downdraft in both equities and precious metals, if the Chinese should become sellers or buyers, or God forbid the U.S. really pushes for war in Russia. So that's why I think it's essential, no matter what you invest in, to have a plan for the volatility. I'm personally not comfortable living with the volatility at the U.S. in the U.S. equity markets at this point, because we're at record highs and overdue for a 25% correction. If we get it, how do you know if you're in a correction or in the beginning of a bear market? You don't. An investor has to go down 30% before you know it's a bear and you can get out. And frankly, I'm not comfortable living with a 30% drop. So the advantage of being in a hedged equity portfolio is you can stay invested, get the dividends, and avoid the big downs in the general market. You have to have, you just have to give up a piece of your upside. Now, if the market crashes up as strongly as Rambus says it might, I think giving up a piece of that upside to protect against the possibility of a 30% down to prove a bear is something that any investor should be happy to do. And it helps you avoid the number one mistake that I see investors make, and which I've made, which is keeping too much cash, not getting enough yield. Now, value investing is historically the most successful investment strategy. And essentially, grossly oversimplified, value investing means buying things when they're down. Rambus is looking at basic material equities and mining stocks and showing you the charts to underscore the extent to which he believes they are low now and moving into a new long-term bull. And of course, that's the most wonderful time to buy into a long-term trend is when a stock has been beaten down and it's just beginning. So Rambus is always looking for places where that long-term trend is your friend. And as he notes, when he discusses it, you have to be patient. And I want to underscore the same thing. So to summarize again what Rambus is saying, the equity bull is intact. I agree. But again, I want hedge portfolios in the U.S. market because it is at record highs. And I'm not willing to give up that extra. I am willing to give up that extra return if the markets crash up, just to protect against the downside. The material sector in the equity markets is an area of opportunity. I agree. But I would point out again that there are some stinkers in there that I refuse to invest in, aka Monsanto. Rambus says the precious metals bull is reasserted. I'm nervous that we could get another one more test down because of what's going on in China and with deflation. But all signs are that he's right, and all signs support great confidence that the long-term bull, if it hasn't reasserted, will. So I think it's a pretty fair bet. And then Rambus says mining stocks are in a historical turn, representing deep value vis-a-vis bullion. I agree. From everything he's laid out, his case makes a lot of sense, and the fundamentals and also support it. But unless you're an expert, please stick with quality in that area and stay broadly diversified, or get an active manager who's an expert at this stuff. Mining stocks are highly complex, tricky credits, and you could have mining stocks as a class perform very well, but individual stocks absolutely get destroyed. I would also underscore, because given how volatile and difficult and treacherous this environment is, you want to have balance between asset classes. Please don't overconcentrate. I've seen so many investors over the last 10 years really destroy their portfolio by overconcentrating. Quality. You want to make sure you're invested in companies and assets and with managers or funds that have endurance. And you want to use this information to make long-term investments. Please limit speculation up to a small percentage of your assets. Now, Rambus obviously does day trading and short-term trading, and if you're expert at that, well, then have at it. But please make sure to limit that kind of speculation unless you're an expert and very much focused on it. So if you value technical advice and it can help you monitor what is happening financially in the world or in the markets or also in your own portfolio, I would really encourage you to check out more of Rambus's work at rambus1.com. We link from his blockbuster Chartology, and there's a wealth of graphs. I really encourage you to have at it. He and his work come with my highest recommendation. So ladies and gentlemen, that's a lot of good news and a lot of opportunity. Yes, it's a volatile world, but there are a couple of big turns happening now, and that reflects a real opportunity for us. So I wish you good hunting in the third quarter, and I look forward to discussing with Rambus and with you how we fared 3 months from now. Good night and good luck.